Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Commitment to Courage, the show that inspires you to choose a life of victory. Call in at 347-637-2274. Now here is your host, the woman you've been hearing about, Pauline Victoria.
This is Pauline Victoria. Welcome to Commitment to Courage. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. I know yesterday was a big day and for me and for everybody out there who has mothers or have motherly figures. And, you know, it is appropriate to have a day dedicated to our mothers because they provide a lot for us, not just life, but seeing us through life and making sure that we have the resources and the tools necessary to succeed in life. And I am honored and privileged to actually have my mother here. She's actually visiting me here in Hawaii. And actually, this is the first Mother's Day we've spent together since I moved to Hawaii, so I'm extra excited. I'm going to introduce my mother. Her name is Maria De Gregorio. And let's just have a conversation. Okay, Mom?
Okay.
Okay. So
Happy Mother's Day. Delighted.
Thank you. You know what? I believe that we don't have to have Mother's Day be excluded to one day. Our mothers are worthy of being celebrated every day and honored every day. And Mother's Day is a good reminder for us to take time out to honor her in a special way. But I believe we can do that every day in you know, the small ways. So, but with Mother's Day come and gone, I wanted to ask you if you could tell our audience a little bit about yourself and I know I know your story about how you came here from the Philippines and at age 23 and you made your way here. But you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and what brought you to this point? And
well, I came to the United States because of some I was born in the Philippines with a American citizenship and but outside the United States, of course, and then I have to come here between the ages of certain age and live here for 5 consecutive years. And so that's why I came here. And my parents were very strict, so my dad ended up coming with me without any plan of coming with me to the United States. And that's how we came here. And then we settled here since early 1970s. And I got married, and I thought I will be a nun at first, but I guess I have a different calling, and then I got married, and my first daughter is Pauline, and that took me in all different directions.
Okay, so I know you met my dad in the Air Force, so after you came to the United States, you actually joined the Air Force.
Well, I worked a little bit. I've never worked before in the Philippines, so all I knew is to work whatever work, and a friend of ours was working in the semiconductor company, and so I started there. But I know it wasn't for me, and so my brother was in the Air Force, so I decided to join the Air Force, and that was really a big battle with my dad because as a woman, you should never be in the Air Force, you know, because it's a men's world. And so, but anyway, I guess that was the very first time that I just ignored my dad. And I went and I met Alan, who is the father of Pauline. And We got married there, and then we had her.
So the reason I'm asking you about your background before you became a mother is because I think it's important for people to recognize who you are as a person outside of being a mom, because who you are as a person definitely helps shape who you are as a mother. And you're someone of adventurous spirit who is not, you know, doesn't always play it safe, doesn't always play the traditional role, and you definitely raised me to also be that. So the characteristics that you have as a young woman outside of being a mother have definitely been passed on to me.
Yes, I have three brothers. I'm the oldest. And, of course, I didn't have playmates, and so I would play with the boys, and if they climb trees, I climb trees. So I was born, I was growing up like a tomboy, you know, and when I was in high school, after I graduated from high school, my parents decided to put me in the dorm with the nuns to shape me up as a proper lady. And and so I don't know, I have the two sides of growing up, I think, you know.
And I would relate to that. I have tradition, yet I can break out of that and go out of my comfort zone into the unknown. And, I mean, just coming, having the courage to come to the United States, thinking you were coming by yourself at age 23 after being in a school of nuns, that takes a lot of courage. And I know your father, my grandfather, would always make sure you had bodyguards and always someone to escort you. So to be able to come here on your own, that is a big testament as to what courage you have in facing the unknown. And
that's right, because my uncle even said, he asked me, what are you going to do in America? Because you haven't done, you know, you haven't worked here, you're still in college. And I said, well, I will be a maid. And then he was saying, you have maids here. You go there in a strange country and be a maid. And I said, well, you know, I will try. And so I was open to anything, you know. But it was a big adventure from that time on.
Yeah, and you weren't a maid.
No. And I don't care if I made, but I made my life, I made it by myself, you know. I feel like I'm a successful person because the Air Force, I went to study more about computers, and then I became a computer consultant, computer contractor, you know, and I've established my name with all my contacts and my friends out there in the Bay Area, and it wasn't hard, work wasn't hard for me. I have even two jobs sometimes, you know, but I feel like I'm successful career woman, and of course later on when I got divorced and I took care of my two daughters who was Pauline was entering college at the time and Beth was in high school with my parents' help. We made it. I made it, you know, and I put them through college, both of them, and, you know, they are now being mothers also, you know, and I feel very successful. I'm very contented with my life.
Yes, that's good. Well, and I think, you know, as you were growing up and entering being a young woman, having those strong characteristics, and they, you know, the saying goes, God doesn't give you more than what you can handle. And so being, having to have a first child and then your first child being in a very rare and surprising condition for you and my father, your strength really came into play, your strength and your faith. Can you tell us a little bit about that day when you went into labor and, you know, everyone wants to know the labor story.
Well, I was very hard-headed, and so was my husband at the time. And I won't claim the strength of and you know, the why you became this way. You know, I mean, you're a strong woman yourself. And but my husband was the one who really carried me out from being traditional and gave you more strength to let you experience what you can do as much as you can for yourself. And so, yeah, that day, it wasn't really, it was not really my time for having a C-section, but I wanted to go to home to my parents, but then the Pauline's husband, father was saying that, you know, maybe we should just stay around. And I was so mad because he won't let me go home to my parents. And then later on, I went into labor, you know, I broke my water bag. And so I'm so glad that he was even more hard-headed than I am, you know. So anyway, we went to the hospital, and when I woke up after the surgery, Pauline's dad came and said, "Oh, we have a girl, and she doesn't have arms and legs." And I said, "Oh my God, you know, what did I do wrong? I thought I was really being good. I never took anything that will harm the baby." And I said, "But anyway, God will, you know." I just talked to God and said, "What, you know, your will be done, but, you know, I will try my best, but you need to fill in the rest." And that's what happened. You know, he did. He helped me, and all the people, all my relatives, my parents, and our friends who are very supportive have helped me and raised this little girl who became just a phenomenal person.
Aww. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, I actually have Manosha on the line. Manosha, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you want to say anything?
Just that motherhood, I don't know how you guys really see it or experience it. I don't know what that clicking is. I'm inside in Missouri, but there is a rainstorm. Motherhood is like, I don't know if anyone can touch it or explain it or even define it. I mean, we all say it's a joy, it's a pleasure, it's a this. It's a deepening of the human being you are, and it happens the second you hold that baby, is my opinion. So, and even as in conception, that it makes you change, and it makes you change in a way that you know you're attempting to lead someone, right or wrong, you're going to try to give them your best. And so I bet your mom appreciates you so much, Pauline, that even if she said it day in and day out and said it thousands of ways, I don't know how you guys feel as parents, as moms. You can't explain it. You can say some words, you know, and get joyous about it or get irritated about it, but no matter what, it is a deepening that's priceless. So, you know, I don't know how you guys feel. I'm glad Hallmark has Mother's Day, and I know that I went to a church yesterday, brought up so many issues, it wasn't funny. I don't know if going to church or Mother's Day brought up the issues, but anyway, so I'm just delighted to be on the air with both of you, and all three of us are moms. My child is 27. He's in Portland, Oregon. He wrote on my Facebook page, Happy Mother's Day or whatever. He could have written, hello. I would have been just as happy as if he had written the Gettysburg Address.
Yes.
I know that has to be how your mom feels about you also. You know,
yeah.
It's just so, anyway, if this was about Mother's Day, I had an excellent Mother's Day yesterday, but to me, every day of our lives, we mother ourselves, and we are a mother. So it's like, it's multitasking doesn't begin to explain it. Does anybody agree with that?
Yes, I would agree with that. Yeah. mothers don't just come in the form of biology. They come in many, many different forms. And I know not everyone has a good relationship with their biological mother or may have a mother around anymore, but there are a lot of women that play motherly roles for us in various ways. And so being a stepmom myself as well, first before having my own child, I kind of took on that role of being a mom. Even though I didn't have to go through the labor pains, thank God.
Yes, yes. Hey, me, 19 hours, honest, and the baby still wouldn't come. So let's not even go there. And so anyway, I don't quite know where you want to take this, Pauline. I'm here in Jefferson City, Missouri. I'm very honored to be on your show, and I do know that three of us on the air are moms. And I do know that we're probably second moms or third moms to someone else also. And I also know that our children resonate with certain people at certain times, and they're their mom or dad, honest. I mean, so when they say it takes a village, it does.
Yes, I would agree. I would agree.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask my mom one more question, or a question right now before we go to break. And I'll let you think about it while we're on break. But I wanted to ask you, when my father told you what the condition of your firstborn child was, I know you thought, what did I do wrong? But what were the feelings that you had and, you know, the thoughts that entered your mind besides that? And so I want you to think about that, and then we'll go to commercial break while you're thinking about that, and we'll hear your answer after.
Does this show resonate with you? Do you have a message you'd like to share on this show? Would you like to be featured on this radio show as a sponsor? If so, contact Pauline directly through her website at www.paulinevictoria.com. And now, back to the show, Commitment to Courage with Pauline Victoria.
Great, we're back. And the question I left my mom pondering as we went to break was, what were the emotions, the feelings, and thoughts that entered your mind as my father was the one to tell you that your firstborn daughter had no arms and legs? Because I know as a mother myself and having my firstborn child, you have all these hopes and dreams that are placed in this child that's just newly born, and all you care about is making sure that they're healthy. And here you're presented with a very unique situation that no ultrasound, no routine doctor test showed up as, I mean, according to all the tests, I was going to be a completely normal baby. And yet, surprise, like you said, God has other plans for us. So what were some of the feelings that you were going through?
The one that I felt is just like my faith, my belief in God, that, you know, just trusting him, what, you know, that he will help me, you know, go through with this life and help this, you know, small baby be something, you know. And also another one is, I think I feel challenged, you know, and I'm not a person to give up very easily. So I feel like, okay, I'll take this, but I also trust that you will help me. So,
and what were the doctors telling you?
The doctors told us that we can always give the baby away, because we won't know what to do with, how to take care of the baby. But then I said no, because she has still a heart and a soul, you know. So I said, no, I will do, you know, whatever
it takes.
It takes, yes.
So regardless of all logical explanation, your faith is what carried you through to carry me through the doors of the hospital.
Yes, and always, you know, have that dream and trust, and also be open to the support of people. You know, and Now you're making me teary-eyed. You know? And
I have that effect on people.
Yeah. So, and that's, and usually I would say to you when you're growing up, you will be my bionic woman. Because at that time there was a bionic woman
the
or
show.
Something, the
yeah.
show, bionic woman or something like
yeah.
that. And I would tell you will be my bionic woman. You know,
yeah.
so, yeah, I think, you know, that I set my expectation high right there, you know. And for you as a person and for me, you know, also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that I expect myself to do something better than normal.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I know as it wasn't always easy to raise someone like me, and I know stories from hearsay, but it's a great opportunity to have you here to tell from your personal perspective about if you had to have tough love and hold yourself back from helping me. And I know my dad helped in that arena. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. I can cite one example. And you were, I think, a little bit over 1 year old, and you used to just roll all over the house. And you wanted to be picked up. All you needed was to raise your little thumbs and say, well, I'll pick you up. You know, but then one day, your father said, no, let her find a way to get herself up. And boy, you were just screaming and crying. You were so red and just mad. And then you just like, you look around, all of a sudden you look around, and I saw in your face like, I'll show you. And then you rolled against the wall, up to the wall, and you just popped up yourself a little bit at a time using the wall. And from that time on, we never picked you up. You were able to sit up by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you built up the muscles in your stomach that you were so strong. You don't even, from that time, you didn't need the wall, you know, when you built up the stomach muscles. You didn't need the wall to prop you up. You just sit up by yourself, you know, even in the middle of the wall, the room.
You were building a bionic woman, just in a different way.
A muscle woman.
Yeah, muscle baby.
Yeah.
So what was that? Were you, I know as a mom, sometimes we want to just go up to our child and help our child
mm-hmm.
and nurture the child, but
yeah.
sometimes it takes more strength to take a step back and give them the space to figure it out on their own, and they become stronger
yeah.
for it.
And I know that was a lesson for me too, because I came from a culture that, you know, we have maids to do things for us.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandparents will always say, oh, you know, always direct to the maids what they can do for us, you know. But at the time, it opened another thing for me. I learned a lesson that, you know, it's important for me to let you do things for you to be more independent
mm-hmm.
and build up that little independence, you know, that independence little by little.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really a lesson. I learned things, well, you know, from you also.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was telling Beth this the other day. I said, it's funny that we do learn from our kids,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I want to, I want to share with you the thing that a father yesterday said, that the mother's love is the closest love to what Jesus' love or God's love. That
mm-hmm.
is the next close to that love.
Mm-hmm.
So,
because you would die for your child.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's
yeah.
beautiful.
Yeah, it was really very eye opener for me too.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like you said, we do learn from our children.
Mm-hmm.
And you have two children. I have some stepchildren and a child, a son of my own who's four, and I learned from my four-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
So could you point out something that you've learned from either of your children?
Oh, I know that no matter what, how much you try, you know, they will grow up even they have the same set parents, the same environment, they will grow up different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not everyone will be, I mean, never be the same person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you just have to go with the tide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you cannot generalize.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to treat each one as an individual, you know, and respect the differences.
Mm-hmm. Was there a major challenge in raising
you?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people think that it was really hard because then they say, oh, my God, you know, when you have to bathe her. But, you know, we have these this thing that when I go to the bathroom to shower, I'll just take you with me and then we shower together and then I just dress you up and prepare you for school. And I feel so lucky that it's so easy for, you know, for you and Beth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you are both good girls, you know, and I thank God for that, you know. But I remember this, and I think I was forewarned that Irma Bombeck, when you were young, very, you know, child, very a baby, I think,
mm-hmm.
I read this in one of her things that, you know, a mother, a special mother, is very lucky because she doesn't take things for granted, even just a smile or just the little things that the baby would do, you will feel really excited. It's a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what helped me through,
mm-hmm.
you know, Irma Bombeck's, it was written in one of the papers before.
Mm-hmm. See, now you're making me cry. I must get that from you.
Yeah.
Well, so, and I love that, you know, to not take anything for granted and not just to let the moments pass us by. I know for Mother's Day, my son gave me a present that he made at school.
Can I get out the projector?
And I'm just going to read the poem that was attached to it. He was supposed to have his foot, thank you, his foot actually dipped in paint and put onto the paper. But the poem is actually really beautiful, and you haven't been able to see this because you were visiting my sister.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just read it for you and for our audience. It's called Moments. Remember how my foot used to fit in the palm of your hand? Look how much it's grown. Remember how I looked when you first held me? How small I must have seemed? Remember my first smile, my first words, my first step? Seems like yesterday. Yet, like a wave washing footprints from the sand, time quickly passes. Turn and glance, and it's gone. Soon, the pitter-patter of little feet become only a memory, distant as the stars at night. So let us treasure this time together. Tomorrow is not as important as today. Remember how my foot used to fit in the palm of your hand? And that was written by a family or parents at St. Joseph's School, which is where
wow.
my son goes to school.
Wow,
so
beautiful.
It, you know, it's true. Time moves very quickly. And I was just talking to a friend last night, and then, you know, we're in our 30s, and yet our parents, I'm sure, still sees us as their babies. So, okay, now that we're done crying, we'll take a break, and we'll come back with more Maria De Gregorio, my mom, after this. And I invite anybody who's listening and would like to call in to share their stories about their moms or as a mom, feel free to call in at 347-637-2274.
Does this show resonate with you? Do you have a message you'd like to share on this show? Would you like to be featured on this radio show as a sponsor? If so, contact Pauline directly through her website at www.paulinevictoria.com. And now, back to the show, Commitment to Courage with Pauline Victoria.
Okay, we're back. For those of you who have just tuned in, I'm actually sitting here in honoring my mother for Mother's Day, because we can celebrate that any day with my mom. Her name is Maria Di Gregorio, and we're just getting insight from her perspective of what it was to raise a child like me. So, what was the number one lesson, or what are some key elements that you used to help get through motherhood? Because it's challenging. There's ups and downs of motherhood. There's frustrating times. There's times when you just want to laugh your head off. There are times when you're going to pull your hair out. The motherhood is really a journey of a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
And so what elements help you get through all that?
When I feel like pulling out my hair, I was thinking that this is just temporary.
Mm.
So it helps me see through what's happening.
Mm.
And it gives me encouragement, you know, to keep on going. When I'm, of course, on the other side, of course, you want to capture that moment. And I'm a person who gets really excited very easily,
yeah,
and very expressive, and people would know, you know. So I try to hang on to that moment, but I know it's temporary also. But you know, I just capture it and just savor the moment.
Mm. So this time too shall pass in times of suffering.
This,
and then
that's
you,
right. Yeah.
You're grateful for the times that are joyful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, even the times that are suffering, there are lessons to be learned.
Exactly.
And you become stronger for them.
Exactly. I learned during my high school days in my theology class, our teacher was telling us that even you fall, there's something that you are thankful, because there's always something to learn. And whatever mistakes you make, you know, even for me and for my kid, for all of you, both daughters, I would always say that as long as you learn from it, then it's not a loss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, because we'll all make mistakes. You know,
yeah,
we are not perfect.
Yeah. And thank you for having the grace to recognize that for your kids, because I know a lot of kids might feel pressured to be perfect for their parents. I remember coming home with this, my grade was a C, and I was freaking out and crying as I'm showing it to you. And you just laughed at me, because you saw that I was hard on myself, and you were giving me the space to make some mistakes, but learn from them so I can not make them again and become stronger. I think we have another caller, area code 619. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Your name?
My name is Samantha from San Diego.
Hi, Samantha. Thank you for calling in. What would you
You're
like
welcome.
To share?
I do have a question for you. What was it like for you as a mother in having your own child? I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm just totally inspired by the fact that you had the courage to have your own child, and I'd just like to know a little bit more about your story and what it meant to have your own child.
For me?
Yes, for you.
Well, you know, I always, you know, since I was 10 years old, I felt like I was always going to have a son. I didn't know how or what that would look like. I just kind of deep down, I just felt like I was meant to have a son at some point in my life. And as I got older, I started doubting, okay, whether I'm even going to be able to fall in love with somebody or someone's going to fall in love with me. And that happened when I met my husband, Ted. And Ted had come with other children from previous marriage. And so for him, it was, if you want a kid, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. And that apathetic feeling around having a child wasn't enough for me, so I just put it off. And I just continued praying, even though my biological clock I could hear clicking very loudly. He finally came to me and he said he wanted to have a child. And so that was it. And just, You know, I don't know if every woman goes through this, but I can speak for myself. But I just had this desire to be able to give life to another child or to a human being. And it wasn't more, it was more than just being able to give life to it. It was being able to raise my son in such a way that he could contribute to the world and he could make the world a better place. And so by doing what I'm doing now, I'm doing my part to make the world a better place. So when he comes up into it, it's already good, and then he can just build upon that and make it even better. But having the courage, yeah, when I got pregnant, I didn't know how it was all going to turn out. I didn't have an example of somebody without arms and legs that has had a baby and went through the pregnancy and the labor, and I've had issues with an implant internally, and so I didn't know how that was going to be affected. I know my mom wasn't happy when I told her I was pregnant. She was very upset at me for getting pregnant, but you know, she also knows that she had to give me space to live my life too. And so as I went along in the pregnancy, the unknown of the pregnancy turned into the unknown of how am I going to raise my child. And because I won't be able to change its diaper or feed it or, you know, and not, maybe not that I can't, it's just I didn't know how. And so
right.
There were a lot of unknowns in that arena, but I just, like my mom, had the faith that everything was going to turn out okay and whatever I needed would show up as I needed it. And so I think just having the faith helps give me the courage to go into the unknown and do what I feel was divine inspiration, which was to have a
right.
child.
Well, I thank you so much, Pauline. You're totally inspiring to me, and I know many of my friends who have heard of you. You're just so inspiring. I mean, the fact that you had the courage to have your own child, despite the fact that it could cause health concerns, and I think that's probably why your mom was concerned for you, right? Because you are her child, and hearing her story and where she came from, and the fact that she the fact that you guys are mother and daughter to me is completely divine, and I just appreciate you both sharing your story today.
Thank you
so much. Did you want to share any stories about you or your mom?
That's such a great question. For me, I think that being, you know, I'm late 20s and I have yet to choose whether or not motherhood is for me. But I did sign in today just to hear your courageous story and be inspired. And so I just thank you so much for both being completely transparent and honest and coming from the heart. In terms of what I learned from my own mom, I think she too was a fighter, and she really helped me to understand that having my own independent thoughts and being able to stand forth for what I believe in has really truly inspired me to even make this call today. So I encourage anyone else who's listening to raise their hand and ask questions and to be a part of this conversation today, because I feel like even though we might be just having a conversation here online, I have a feeling that it's actually going out to inspire many, many people. So thank you so much for the opportunity to be on your show, and I can't believe I got through. That's so exciting.
Thank you very much. You're so sweet.
Thank you, Samantha, and feel free to call in anytime.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay,
yes, if anybody would like to call in and share their stories, please call in at 347-637-2274. I would love to be inspired by your stories of motherhood. And it might not be your mother in the traditional sense. It could be an aunt or a good friend that played that role for you. And, you know, there are lots of different mothers out there. I have a friend who is a beautiful soul, and she's not a mother in the traditional sense, but I do recognize her as a mother of dreams. And so mothers come in all forms. So keep that in mind. But call in and let us be inspired by yours. But until we got other callers, I would like to continue asking my mom some questions. So, you know, I really want to point out that what you did for me when I was around 1 year old and giving me the space to learn my own independence. You did that throughout my life, as I just said. You know, you may not have been happy with the idea of me being pregnant and going down that road, because it wasn't a known for me and for you, and yet you knew that you had to respect that space and being able to live my life, because if you hover, you don't really allow your child to really explore what it is that they can do. And, you know, fortunately, it turned out great, right?
Yes, yes. I have a wonderful grandson and very smart, and oh, I'm so proud of him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think faith is the biggest role in our struggles or challenges in our lives. And it wasn't easy for me to give up a little, you know, but you have taught me to do that, you know. Mm. So,
yeah. I know you had to do that for college.
To you too. Yes, yeah. You, for college. I begged you not to go away, just stay where we are, you know. And I promised you, I said, if you go to Santa Clara University, mm-hmm. then, you know, you can stay in the dorm, because you said, Mom, if, you know, I would like to know, I want to go to San Diego University because, you know, I want to see if I can make it out there in life without you. And so I, you know, I begged you to stay and just stay in the, and go to Santa Clara University. And, you know, as promised, you lived mm-hmm. in the dorm. You know,
yeah.
So you have
it's a good compromise. I mean, I knew deep down in my heart and that inner voice I had to listen to that I needed to go in order to grow, even though all my needs were easily met at home and the security was, you know, perfect at home. But I just had this calling that I had to leave the nest. And you were scared as a mom. And I think all moms are scared. It's not just me, you know, where I don't have arms and legs, that you're more scared. I think all moms are scared to leave their children and, you know, have their children leave the nest. I mean, I can't even imagine. My son's 4, and I'm, like, trying to prepare myself for the day he leaves. I have
it is hard.
14 more years to do that. I think hopefully I'll be able to handle it at that point. But, you know, but, yeah, you came to a compromise. So you allowed me to learn my own independence again by giving me space,
I can check on you.
Yes, you can check on me and help me do my laundry.
Yes.
And all the good
shower.
Stuff. Yes, all the good stuff that moms do, you know, even though we grow up, you still are the mom.
And that has, you know, good memories. We had good memories when mm-hmm. you were in college, you know,
mm-hmm.
so...
Yeah, and you do get to cherish that time more because mm-hmm. when you would come over at least once a week, every day at first, and then...
Then you told me, Mom, I have also roommates,
yeah.
you know.
Yes.
So I decreased it to once a week,
yes.
you know. So.
But it was fun to go out to lunch or go out to dinner and
mm-hmm.
all that. So.
And I became a mom of multiple kids, you know, because your friends, your dormmates, you know,
mm-hmm.
have treated me like their mom.
Yeah.
They came from far away.
Yeah, all my roommates were from Hawaii, and so you were the mother figure for all of us.
Yeah.
And you do that for everybody that comes into our lives. You just adopt them as your own. And I think that's a beautiful, you know, you don't say that's not my kid. You take that on and you say, well, that's a child of God too, and I'm going to be that motherly figure while they're in my presence and be that example of love. And
I enjoy, you know, it's not painful or it's not a struggle. I just enjoy, you know, that makes my world very small, you know, like, well, it's not, you know, wider, but with full of loving people,
yeah.
you know. So,
yes, I love it. All right, we have another caller with a 510 area code. Hi. Hello? A caller with 510 area code? Okay. That's okay. Try back again. Okay. You know what? We have a few more minutes. We have about 14 more minutes on the air.
Okay.
Do you have any questions for me? As, you know, from mother to daughter.
How do you feel being a mother now? And what have you, have you learned from me as a mother?
Oh, gosh. I learned a lot. I mean, even just hearing you and your experience as a woman and a young lady before you became a mother, I can relate to. You know, I believe I'm strong. I believe I am traditional, yet I can step out of my comfort zone towards the unknown. I believe that I get excited easily. I do get excited easily. I'll just get excited for no reason at all, actually, which is great. And, you know, as a mother, you really taught me that the little things count, that it wasn't, you know, you did very well professionally in your career, so you were able to provide very well for us in terms of material goods. And I'm grateful for that, but you and I were just having a conversation, and I said, you know, I don't remember what you bought me, but I remember going out to eat and laughing and hanging out or just walking around the mall, and because that's what girls do. You know, those were the fun times, going camping, smelling breakfast as it was being cooked when I woke up. I mean, those are the little things that I remember that I want to pass on to my son. Or like Valentine's Day, we wake up and there's like a little, some chocolate on our pillow. You know, you don't expect it, but it's there. And you know, even as a teenager, you have the romantic love, and, you know, I didn't have that so much. So, you know, but just to know that, yeah, I get to celebrate Valentine's Day too, you know. And so those are the little things that I think I've passed on to my stepchildren and also my son. And that's what I want him to remember, because it's not really what you get your children. It's what you do with your children and who you are for them. And so, I would say I've received a lot that now I get to pass on. And I think that's a testament for what motherhood really is. It's really your legacy.
Thank you.
Your legacy gets passed on, not to your child, just your child, but then their children, and those traditions get passed on to their children, and so it just goes on. And I'm sure if we all traced our lineage, we would find traditions that continued hundreds of years ago, or strength that carried on for hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I think, is the true testament of motherhood, which is, what do you leave the world behind when you're gone?
I feel also that having lived in a family where your grandparents, and, you know, you saw that that it's being passed on from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, having the strength and the courage to go into the unknown didn't start with you. I know my grandparents' stories, and when they were in World War II, and Grandma was a spy, and Grandpa was in the Death March of Bataan in the Philippines, and, you know, so they took their steps into the unknown, and they had their moments of courage, and that was, you know, definitely passed on, and you took your steps in a different way, and now I'm taking my steps in a different way, and soon my children and your other daughter's children will do the same. So it's really exciting. We're going to take one last break, and then we'll come back. If you feel like you want to call in and you want to share your inspiring stories about mothers and motherhood, feel free to call in at 347-637-2274.
Does this show resonate with you? Do you have a message you'd like to share on this show? Would you like to be featured on this radio show as a sponsor? If so, contact Pauline directly through her website at www.paulinevictoria.com. And now, back to the show, Commitment to Courage with Pauline Victoria.
Great. We're back, and I'm here interviewing my mom, Maria. and in honoring of Mother's Day. We were just talking about legacy and how motherhood is really leaving your legacy. And I went off about what I believe the legacy is that she or our family is leaving behind in the world. But I want to ask you, what do you want? What legacy would you like to see that you are bringing to the world?
I think I would like to, and now that you are all grown and you're all, you know, different directions, I would like to concentrate on what I can do, because I've always felt that I'm called to serve, you know, and I would like to just keep on serving, you know, for the greater glory of, you know, of our God, whatever our God, you know, means to each one of us, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's what my I would like to leave, is to just keep on serving.
Mm. Beautiful. We have a caller, 925 area code. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. What's your name?
My name is Beth, and I've been following you guys, the Ping team, and your story. I met through the Ping team, and I live in Concord, California.
Oh, good. Thank you for calling in, Beth. I appreciate it.
Uh-huh. I have a little story to tell you. It's a story of hope and courage. I'm a recovering alcoholic addict, and I have 6 years clean and sober. And I just want to say there is hope and encouragement out there, and sometimes you have to ask for help. You can't do it all alone in this world.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much. Congratulations.
Thank you.
On 6 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is good.
Yeah, and you know, I believe that, and sometimes it's the hardest thing to ask for help. Because,
yes,
you know, we have our pride, and we want to give this facade that we're strong, but in actuality, by asking for help, we become stronger for it.
Yes, I agree. And also, let me add that my addiction took me places that I never thought I would go. And I had two children removed by CPS, Child Protective Services. And one was 5 and one was newborn. I never got to take them home from the hospital. And they're out there somewhere, probably in El Sobrani. My daughter is going to be 15 in August, and my son turned 10 on March 4th. So Madison and Darren are out there, and you know, I have every faith and every bone in my body tells me that someday our paths will cross and they'll be in my life again, and I'm a lot better mother now than I was back then.
Thank you, and thank you for your courage. You know, it's courage as a mother to know that your children are probably better off, you know, while you heal yourself. And, you know, so thank you for having the courage, and I know that your paths will cross again. And, you know, even though you might not be with them on a day-to-day basis, I'm sure they feel the love.
I know, and God has much more in store for me, or my higher power is whatever you want to call it. I choose to call mine God, but your story is tremendous, and I commend you, and must have had a wonderful family support system growing up as a child to have an attitude like yours.
Yes,
that's all I know.
Did. Yes, and you're very perceptive.
And you will make it, you know, you keep on going.
Yes, I think
yes,
I believe
definitely.
You made it already, so thank you so much, and I appreciate you calling in and sharing your story.
I appreciate you taking my call. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Great.
Happy
you
Mother's
have a wonderful
Day.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for sharing. That's very touching. And, you know, like I said, I'm very blessed. I was very blessed to have a mother and father that could see through a bad situation, or what could have been a bad situation, to see the positive and come through and see the light. And, you know, not everyone is as fortunate, but you have the strength to be able to move forward in whatever it is that is in your life. And, you know, it strength comes in all different forms and shapes. And do you want to say anything to Beth?
I think you said it all.
Okay. My mom is very moved by the story, and that's what I want the show to be about. It's about the everyday person that is maybe struggling or have gone through struggles, and they see inspiration through those struggles. And so I would encourage everybody to continue listening and continue to call in and share your stories, because in your stories, we are touched and we get healed and we get to celebrate our own victories. So I want to thank you so much for that. It looks like we're about out of time, and I'm really glad that we got to have a couple callers come in and share their moments of inspiration and courage. And we will be doing this again next Monday at 10 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific and 4 p.m. Eastern. So if you would like to listen in next week and share your stories, I welcome you and look forward to hearing more about what it is you have in your life in terms of courage and inspiration. So thank you so much, and I want to thank my mom, Maria.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me in the show.
Oh, my pleasure. You made the show easy. We covered every emotion. We laughed, we cried, and we got to learn. And so, you know what? I would say it was a success. So thank you for everybody for listening and calling in, and have a blessed day.
Thank you for listening to Commitment to Courage. To learn more about Pauline Victoria, visit www.paulinevictoria.com and sign up to receive free updates. Be sure to tune in every Monday at 10 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time, 1 p.m. Pacific, and 4 p.m. Eastern. And remember, as you continue to live your life, and as you listen in each Monday, know that you always have the courage within you to live a life of victory.